accommodate your business.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, Do You Have Hope?
God's grace and His mercy be with you today through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. It's so great to be back together with you. And to preach Jesus Christ and to lift up to you what I'm going to talk about today is hope. The hope of the Christian. Do you have hope? Are you a hope-filled Christian? Do you look forward to the future with enthusiasm and zeal and excitement and joy? Excited about great things to come in your future? Running into it with great energy? Or are you kind of more like, I'm looking at the future right now, the way it looks from the news, and it looks dread and dreary and dark and gloomy and scary, and I don't really have so much energy to run into it with joy. Rather run away from it. That would be hopelessness. So let's talk today about hope, what God wants to teach us about that in His holy word, the scriptures, the hope of the Christian. What can we say about that? Well, first, hope for the Christian. What kind of a role does that play in our lives? We always hear about things like faith, by which we're justified by faith in Christ and how great that is, or about love that proceeds out of faith. We hear a lot about faith and love, but do you hear a lot about hope? Do you focus on that one? If your Christian life were a movie, would hope have a little cameo role, a little insignificant guest appearance? Or would it be the star, the hero of the story, one of the chief players driving it forward? Well, actually, according to Scripture, hope has a central role as hero in the Christian's faith. And let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 13. We'll start there. At the end of that great passage, Paul says in verse 13, so faith, hope, love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Because in heaven, of course, we'll have love. We won't need faith and hope anymore because we'll already be there. We don't need to hope for things we already have. But this is the all-star team, okay, for the Christian. The Hall of Fame, if you will. And who makes it into the all-star team Hall of Fame? Faith, love, and hope. Hope is right there with faith and love as the number one of the number three heroes for the Christian. Is hope such a hero in your Christian faith? Think about the centrality of hope in the Christian faith, according to Scripture. God says in Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope and a future. God gives it to us. And Psalm 65, we read, O God of our salvation, you are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. So our God's name actually is God of hope. If you look at 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul says, God in Christ gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace. He gave us hope through Christ. And in Titus 1, Paul says he was an apostle in hope of eternal life, which God who never lies promised ages ago, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by command of God our Savior. In Ephesians 4, we read, there is one body and one spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call. So when God calls you, he calls you to hope, a hope that belongs to your call in Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1, in Christ we're called to the hope of glory. We hear that several times in Scripture. In Titus 2, we read that we are right now, at this very moment, awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And therefore, Hebrews 10 says, let us therefore hold fast the confession of our hope. Hold fast the confession of our hope. Come on, say it. Of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So do you see how central this is? Hope is not a little cameo role or not a little guest appearance on the side. Hope is a hero to you, a hero of our Christian faith, a star in our story. And what is hope, actually? Let's take a look at that. The word in the Greek it's used for it is elpis, not Elvis, by the way, okay? Elpis, which means a desire of some good to come with the expectation of obtaining it. So hope is something that's future-looking. It's forward-looking, isn't it? You never look backwards and say, I hope I have something that's already in the past, because you don't look backwards for hope. Hope isn't about something you have with you present in the present time either. I don't say, I hope I have a car if I already have a car, because I already have a car. Why would I hope for one? But if I don't have a car, I might hope for one in the future to obtain it. Because hope is always forward-looking. It's future-looking. It's of the expectation of some great things to come to us in the days to come. Better life, better awards, better everything. That's hope. And I ask you, do you have great hope today? Are you looking forward into the days to come saying, boy, I'm so excited. This is fantastic. I have great energy. I have great zeal, optimism, and joy for running into the days before me in the future. That would be hope. But if you're like, ugh, I dread the future. It looks dark, especially with all this news. It looks worse and worse. It's scary. I don't want to go into the future. I want to stay where I am if I could. That would be hopelessness. So where is your hope today on scale 1 to 10? God wants it to be the hero. Now, why do we need hope? And is it so central to the Christian life? Well, hope is super closely tied to our ability to go forward and to run to it with excitement, zeal, and joy because there's good waiting for us there. Now, let me give you a little example. When I moved here 15 years ago, because I'm at my 15-year anniversary, and I first came to Merritt Island, lived over in Bacora there by the high school, hot day. And I ran in those days. Yes, I used to run. And I was going to run 3 miles in the heat, get back to my house. And I ran with great hope to get back and have a nice cool glass of water and maybe dessert and rest. So I was running. I did first 2 miles or so really fast because I had great hope. I saw my prize before me. But you know what happened? I got lost. Catalina Isles, I got lost because there are these canals and the straight roads were kind of interrupted and my mental map, since I didn't know the area, got all turned around. I had no idea where I was. So my hope started to get smaller of getting home running the whole way. But I kept running because I still had hope, but I slowed. Well, the next road I come to, I don't know that one either. What happened to my hope? Ginger, what happened to my hope? Got smaller. And so my pace slowed even more. And then it happened again, and it got smaller because I'm like, I have no idea where I am, and it's hot. And eventually, I said, one more road. I know I'll find my way on this one. I came, and I'm like, I got no idea where I am. I'm totally lost. I don't know that road. And my hope died. The flame was extinguished of being able to run all the way home. Now, I still had energy to go on, but what happened to my run, Kevin? Zero hope. What happens to the run? I stopped. I basically threw in the towel, sat down. I gave up. Because this is key. When hope is gone, your ability to move forward is gone as well. You have no joy left, no energy left. Even if I had physical strength, I had no spirit. That's why hope is so important for us as Christians. But after I sat there for a little while, what happened? So I said, well, let's start walking. And after a while, I recognized this road. What happened to my hope? It's like, pshing, the flame lit. And I started to jog. And then, oh my goodness, I know this road. That's not far from my house. And I started to run. And then I came to the next road. That's my road. And my house, I can see it at the end. My prize before me. And now I can sprint because my hope is great. So when your hope is strong, your joy to go forward is great. Your energy, optimism, enthusiasm is all there to drive you forward to the prize. That's why we need hope in the Christian life. That we would, like Paul, say, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And he said that because he had great hope. But is it easy to hold fast to hope when times are tough? In good times, you can always say, oh yeah, I got hope, sure. But in tough times, it's really difficult. We need to acknowledge that it's hard to hold fast to hope when times are tough. Job, he was a man of super hope. I mean, he was God's best man on earth at the time, basically. But when times got hard for him, in Job 9, he said, he breaks me down on every side. I'm gone, and my hope, he is pulled up like a tree. Over here in Job 7, he said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and come to their end without hope. So even Job lost hope when times were tough. Jeremiah, remember him? He was great. But when he saw Jerusalem overrun by enemies, he said, my soul is bereft of peace. I've forgotten what happiness is. So I say, gone is my glory and my expectation from the Lord. In other words, I can't see any good coming to me in the future, said Jeremiah. It seems like all is lost. He was hopeless until he remembered that God's mercies are new to him every morning. But he lost hope for a moment there. Even great Paul. Could Paul lose hope, do you think? Super Paul, who presses on for the prize? Well, even he, when times were tough, had trouble with it. 2 Corinthians 1, he said, we were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. He didn't see any future for himself, at least in this life. And so he had trouble holding fast to hope. How about you guys? How are you doing? How are you doing today? I haven't seen you for a month and a half or so. How are you doing?
Hopeful.
You know, it can be really tough for us because we're facing some difficult times. Who would have believed if, you know, at the start of this year, we could have told ourselves, you know, in a couple of months, we're going to see the end of all national sports, the end of entertainment, movies, and Hollywood, be totally shut down. Cruise ships will float off the coast with no passengers, empty of them. Airplanes will not fly. International travel will be cut off. Businesses will go bankrupt. Prisoners will be set free, while honest citizens locked up in jail. American cities destroyed by riots and looting. City boards will vote to defund police departments. Churches will be shut down by government. Pastors arrested. And the U.S. Supreme Court, you heard this one, right, will rule that, you know, Caesar's Palace Casino can have as many people as they want as long as it's 50%, but churches like Calvary Chapel can only have 50 people in attendance to worship. You know, you hear all this stuff, very negative, of course. It seems like things are going from bad to worse. Do you hold fast to hope of great things? Are you still running forward into the future saying, this is awesome? Great things are before me. My hope is so strong, I'm at a sprint. That's what God wants for us, but it's tough in times like these. So how do you keep hope alive? Well, God tells us, lift your drooping hands, Christians. Strengthen your weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet. Show the same earnestness as Noah in realizing the full assurance of hope to the end. So I want you to say with zeal, hope.
Hope.
We're going to keep it to the end so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. God wants us to be sprinting, and that comes from how strong your hope is. Where are we going to find hope to make us run with energy and zeal through life to the future? Well, Paul tells us this. Where do you think it's going to be?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. Romans 15. Let's hear what he says here in Romans 15, verse 4. Paul says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope." By the Scriptures' encouragement, we might have hope. Hope comes from the Scriptures and the promises of God here of what He's spoken to us about yours and my future. A hope that cannot disappoint you because it's based on God's Word. He says, we read in Psalm 119, "My soul languishes for thy salvation, but I hope in thy Word," says the psalmist. And so where are we going to find hope? In the Scriptures. And where do the Scriptures point us for hope? To Jesus Christ. I'll tell you something. There is no hope for anybody outside of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You don't know what's going to happen in the future. You have no power to control that for good. You certainly can't conquer death. You can't escape the judgment to come, or hell, or darkness, or the judgment. But in Jesus we have perfect hope. Let's open and read about this. He gives you hope in everything. Ephesians 2, we read, "Remember," oh you guys, remember this, "that at one time, at that time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what's called the circumcision, which made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." That's what we used to be like. We had no hope. No hope of a better future, at least guaranteed by God. You had no hope of escaping death or of judgment or of escaping hell and going to heaven. No hope. Zero. You were hopeless. But shouldn't have closed the Bible. Here, let's open it again. "But," we read, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near through the blood of Christ. So what Jesus did for us at the cross brings us hope for today and for tomorrow. For he, it says, reconciled us to God in one body through the cross, and brought the hostility to an end. There's no more warfare between you and God. There's peace. You have hope that right now you are forgiven by God. Amen?
Amen.
That right now you are redeemed by God. Amen?
Amen.
You are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And you've become heirs in hope of eternal life. The saying is sure. That's the Bible. Heirs in hope of eternal life. Let's consider for a few moments what great promises and precious words are guaranteed to us here about your future in God's Word. Number one, you have hope for better days in this life through Christ to come. For what does God tell us in the Bible, Jeremiah 29? "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. Not here to harm you," God says, "but to give you a future and to give you a hope." In other words, you're going to have better days in the future because God promises you better days. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, right, Art? which shines brighter and brighter until full day. That's what God is doing with you. And doesn't mean everything's going to be rosy and easy, but we do have this promise. Christ always leads us in triumph. You can be guaranteed that that is your future. And that he's going to be changing us daily, whatever happens, into his likeness from one degree of glory to another, into the image of Christ. Are you excited about your future? That is a promise. This is, I'm telling you as a prophet, this is in your future. Things are going to get better for you. That's hope. Should be joyful. And you're going to have hope also that through all the trials and troubles that whatever may come in your present, through this present world crisis and whatever may come in your future, that God is the one who will provide you the way through it that you might live. Isn't that exciting? You know, we got a lot of tough stuff coming. Who knows what we may face in the days that are on our way, but, you know, God's already known about it. Like Sammy was saying this morning, it's not like God's in heaven going, you know, like, whoa, I didn't see this coming. Oh, my goodness, look at all this trouble. It's like, that's off of my radar screen. No, God's hand is in it, right? And if God's hand and will is in it, he's also gone ahead of you to provide the way through it. Even if you can't see it yet, there is a way in your future provided for you to walk through to glory and get through it alive. For Paul had imprisonments and beatings. He was often near death. He was 5 times lashed by the Jews with the 40 lashes less one, 3 times beaten with rods, 1 stoned, 3 times shipwrecked, a night and a day, adrift at sea, and all these things. And yet, what does he say? Yet from them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, he says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil and save me for his heavenly kingdom. Is that your future? Can you boast of that greatness that's before you? I can't wait to see what God has in store. What if horrible things come? That's even better. Because that means God's got a more miraculous way for me through it, if it be even through a Red Sea. I'm excited about the future. We should be joyful. What do you have in store, God? I know it's good. For many are the afflictions of the righteous, says the scripture, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Say the word all.
All.
And he gives us a great future, not just for this life, but far more for the life to come. For Paul said he was a servant of God, this is Titus chapter 1, and an apostle of Jesus Christ to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised ages ago. So what do you and I have in our futures for hope? Good things to come called living forever. Immortality. Hope of eternal life is your future. Guaranteed through Jesus Christ. And the resurrection. For if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, says Paul, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies. Also through his spirit which dwells in you. And he says, it's in this hope that we were saved. So in other words, when you came to be saved in Jesus Christ, this is the hope in which you were saved, that your body would live forever and be raised up. And we have the hope of adoption as sons. We're already sons, but we're going to be adopted as sons. And the redemption of our bodies. My goodness, you've got great things ahead of you. We are God's children now, friends. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be in the future. But we know that when he appears, guess what? We're going to be like him. Because we're going to see him as he is. How exciting is your future? Great things are before you, O Christian. In this present world, in this present crisis, and all this terrible stuff that seems to be going on, guess what? Of the world, we have this promise. The creation itself. We'll be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. You think you're suffering? The dolphins don't like it either. Nor do the whales, nor do the wolves. They're all groaning, says the scripture, as if in travail, ready for birth, ready for liberty of the children of God in which they'll share in it. And we're waiting, says Peter, for, according to God's promise, for a new heavens and a new earth in which everything's right and good. Righteousness dwells. For the earth is going to be covered with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And this is not far off into your future. Let's get sprinting towards it. It's just the next corner. I can already see it down the street. It's coming soon. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things, they're all gone, passed away. And the one who sits upon the throne shall say, "Behold, I make all things new." That's the future. This present world crisis, we could call just a little bump, that's all it is, on the way to an eternal weight of glory beyond all calculation. And we're waiting for the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. We're going to share, be sharers in God's glory, Romans chapter 5. We're going to be shining like the sun. A crown of righteousness is prepared for you. A crown of life is awaiting you. A crown of everlasting joy is sitting up there on a royal throne waiting to be placed upon your head, says God. And you shall see my face, God says, and we together shall reign forever. More. Your future is so bright you don't even know what I'm talking about. Because if I were to unfold it in its full splendor, you couldn't even take it how great your future is. And as it is, we desire a better country that is a heavenly one. And God, therefore, is not ashamed to be called our God, for he's prepared for us a city. And Paul says about all these things that are awaiting you, you have a hope that will not disappoint you. Some people hope for things and then they never come to pass and then they're all broken. Not us Christians. You have a hope that will not disappoint because it's based upon God's word of promise, which cannot and never will fail. What I've shared with you as Christians is your future. And it is great and brilliant. Run to it. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, says the Bible, without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And we'll conclude with this. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, Do You Have Hope? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 8 and 11 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, please go to our website at christlutheranchurchcapecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.